Good morning. Welcome as we come to worship today. Whether you've joined us online or in person, we bid you a really warm welcome. We come not only to gather together as a community of faith to give God the glory and the honour that is due His name, and to be inspired by His word, to intercede for other people and to lay bare before Him or things that we are seeking the forgiveness and mercy of God for. But we also come today to draw around His table, to remember His life, His death and His resurrection, and the power that that continues to bring into your lives every single day. So let's pray together as we begin. This is how God showed His love amongst us, that He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him, because He bore our sins in His body on the cross, so we might die to sin and live for righteousness, declaring that by His wounds we have been healed. So, Father, in this space at this time, we thank You that You are already present with us, but in our invitation for Your presence to be here, it's the opening of our hearts, our minds, and our very souls before You, to be receptive to what You would do amongst us, for us, through us, and with us today. So by the power of Your Spirit, be present, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.
This morning's reading is taken from St. Luke's Gospel, Chapter 11, beginning to read at the first verse, Jesus teaching on prayer. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When He finished, one of His disciples said to Him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. He said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be Your name, Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation. Then He said to them, suppose one of you has a friend, and he goes to him at midnight and says, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. Then the one inside answers, don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children are with me in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, though he will not get up and give him the bread because he is his friend, yet because of the man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks, finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Heather. So today we begin a new series, about prayer, entitled O When the Saints. We'll come to that in a little bit later. But hopefully over the next number of weeks, this will enable us to understand prayer a little bit more. It sounds a weird thing to say to a church that we might understand or prayer a little bit more, but sometimes prayer always seems, no matter how many times or how long we've been journeying through church or with Jesus or and praying, prayer sometimes seems a little bit almost mystical and unattainable and unreachable. And so as we journey through it, we're going to hopefully enable us to understand it a little bit more in the nuts and bolts of it. So we'll look at things like, how do we actually pray for each other? Because quite often we'll say, oh, I'll pray for you. But what does that actually mean? How can we do that as a community of faith? How can our hearts be burdened for things that we will pray for and spend time praying for them? How do we deal with the disappointment whenever prayer doesn't seem to get the answer that we prayed? How do we use the right language? How do we rejoice with others and give thanks whenever we pray? And so where's the best place to begin with all of this? Well, let us pray. Father God, thank you that you are present with us. Thank you that prayer is a conversation with you. And we thank you for the honor and the privilege that it is that the Almighty Creator and Sustainer of the universe invites us into a conversation and a relationship and a journey with you. So as we do this, may we grow ever more increasingly close to you in the precious and beautiful name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So we titled this series, O When the Saints. Now, I imagine there's already people smiling, finishing the sentence in their head. O when the saints go marching in. O when the saints go marching in. But it is that, and it's not that. It's more than that. Because often we don't like to be described as a saint. We imagine a saint being someone who is of old, someone who has done something absolutely amazing, like Columba, and we name a church after him then. But the scriptures describe saints as something completely different. The scripture describes saints not only as those saints of old, but as you and me. Now, in our modern day, we've also, the interpretation of the word saint is perfection, isn't it? Oh, isn't he just a wee saint? That's what everybody says about me. No. Or we use those phrases, saints and sinners, and we set them at equal opposites. But the scriptures teach us that whenever it describes us as saints, it's those of us who know and love the Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. That a saint in that context is the being sanctified, the being renewed, the being refreshed, the being redeemed every single day, the drawing closer to our Lord and our Savior. So when the saints, you and I, who know and love Jesus as a community of faith, start to draw closer to him, what does that look like? Well, the disciples often are the people that we look to see what did they do? And they'd watched and Jesus performed miracles. They'd listened to his amazing teaching. But something else sparked in them. And we see that in verse 1 of chapter 11 today. It says, when one day Jesus was praying in a certain place, when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples to pray. The disciples had seen Jesus praying. They had seen something in Jesus that they knew they not only wanted, but needed for themselves. And they knew that John, as we talked about last week, the precursor, the forerunner, the one who heralded in the wilderness that this Messiah is coming, that he taught his disciples how to walk in his ways. And so Jesus' disciples are saying, teach us how to walk in your way, O Lord. Teach us to pray just like you do. Teach us to set time aside in our day to go off to a quiet place and to find a space and a place where we can actually spend time with our Heavenly Father. And effectively, that's how the Lord's Prayer came into being. Because he said to them in verse 2, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, give us this day your daily bread, our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation. And that Lord's Prayer, in a sense, is a catch-all prayer. It covers so many different things, doesn't it? It's the seeking of his kingdom. It's the giving God his rightful place. It's the asking for help in the daily life. It's the seeking of forgiveness and strength for the moments where we are weak. It's for the relationships with other people. It's the catch-all prayer that we learn from infancy if we've been about church at all. So prayer is more than, in a sense, more than those fleeting moments that happen at a traffic light, especially if you're trying to get through the cuts at the minute. Or at the kitchen sink as you're washing your dishes. Or when you're faced with a difficulty, or when you want to be grateful. It's much more than those simplistic, fleeting prayers that we kind of throw up every so often. But it is also all of those things. We can't dismiss those moments, because those moments are important in the relationship. But it is so much more than just that. Because prayer is what connects us to the Almighty Creator and Sustainer of the universe. It's that conversation that grows the relationship. It's the bridge from the temporal to the eternal, from the human effort to the divine intervention. And yes, there are times when we are disappointed. And we'll come to that in a few weeks. There are times when we are filled with rejoicing and thanksgiving, and we'll come to that in a few weeks. So today is about how we make a connection. So when the saints make a connection, how do we actually make the connection with the Almighty God, Creator and Sustainer of the universe? Next week's opening up a conversation. What words do we use? The formula of our prayers. Is there even a formula that we have to follow? We'll look at all of that kind of thing next week. But tonight, this week, is about a connection. How do we make the connection? Well, it takes time, doesn't it? I didn't warn her that I was going to talk about this today. But it's like whenever I met Shirley, my heart was fluttering. I was excited. In those days, no mobile phones, so whenever the house phone rang, you wanted to go and sit in the cold porch where there was no heat to be in a conversation with the girl that you absolutely fancied and that you wanted to spend more time with. It was the rambling on in those early days of those kind of, it almost seems as if those early conversations were filled with complete ramblings about absolutely anything and everything, because you're almost trying to tell the other person the best bits about you so that they don't think you're an absolute numpty. It's those moments where you're trying to impress. And so over time, whenever the house phone rang and I answered it and she said, hello, I immediately knew it was her. I didn't have to ask, who are you and what are you looking for? At our wedding, the preacher at our wedding encouraged us to consider three elements of communication. Do you remember what they were, Shirley? There you are. Small talk, soul talk, and serious talk. He encouraged us to continue the conversations of the small things of the everyday. He encouraged us to have the conversations about our souls, about who we were, about the things that were going on inside of us and the very depths that we told nobody else about. And he encouraged us to have the serious conversations, the ones that we might not want to have with each other, but that we needed to have with each other. And now our communication, not as a couple who kind of fancy each other, and one lives in Ballymena, and the other lives in Dungannon, and you have to almost drive around Loch Ness to get to see each other. Now that we're married, 26 and a half years later, having met Shirley, our conversations are different from those very early days. They've matured. They've shifted. And sometimes we don't even need to speak to each other. We can sit in silence and be okay with that. And there are other times whenever she doesn't need to speak to me, but I know exactly what she's telling me. Now put all of that into the context of prayer, which is a communication with God, a conversation with God. And what do we have? We have a conversation that can start small with excitement. We have a conversation that almost seems as if it's eternally filled with ramblings about the best bits of who we are and how amazing he is and how we're problemed with all these other things. But over a period of time, weeks, months, years, that conversation, those moments of prayer with God, can move to a place where there is serious talk, small talk, and soul talk. And sometimes it can get to a place where actually you can just sit in silence in God's presence, not needing to say anything. And I suppose that's what the next few weeks are really about. It's about the nuts and bolts of how we can have the longevity of that journey with God. It's the connection, the initial connection is the really, really important part. It's not necessarily the words. The words will come. In fact, sometimes the less words, the more opportunity that we have to actually hear what it is that God might be doing for us, with us, and saying to us. Silence. Sitting in silence. Being silent. Hands up if you think you're really good at that. We live in a world where we're not really good at that. And we're not encouraged to be good at that. As I prepared for today, I was reminded of a story that I'd heard many, many years ago about that ability to sit in silence and that ability of silence overweighing busyness. And so I went and dug it out, and here it is. It's an analogy, if you like. Satan called a worldwide convention of his demons. In his opening his address, he said this: "We can't keep Christians from turning against God, but we can distract them from God. Let them go to church. Let us steal their time so they don't have any time to develop a relationship or a conversation with Jesus. This is what I want you to do," he said to his demons. "Distract them from maintaining that vital connection with Jesus throughout their day." "How shall we do this?" they asked. "Well, keep them busy in the non-essentials of life and invent innumerable schemes to occupy their minds," he said. "Overstimulate them with screens and with other things so their minds cannot hear a still, small voice. Entice them to play the radio, an iPod, stream the music, whatever they drive. Keep the TV, the DVDs, the CDs, the streaming, and the PCs and the laptops going constantly in their homes. This will jam their minds and break that union with Jesus. Pound their minds with news 24 hours a day. Flood their mailboxes with junk mail, mail order catalogues, and every kind of newsletter and promotion offering products, services, and false hopes. Let them stand in lines for hours for the latest mobile phone or book or whatever. Let them be seduced by glitzy advertising that will lure them away from God. Fill their world with their minds with trash so that they will not have room for God. Tempt them to spend, and borrow. Persuade men and women to go to work for long hours, 6 or 7 days a week, so they can fill empty lifestyles. Keep wives and husbands too tired to love each other after the work. Give them headaches too. If they don't give each other the love that they need, they will begin to look elsewhere. That will fragment family quickly. Keep them from spending time with their children. As their families fragment, soon their homes will offer no escape from the pressure of work. Keep skinny, beautiful models in magazines and TV so they'll believe that outward beauty is what's important and forget that loving God and neighbor is what's really beautiful. And even in the recreation, let them be excessive. Let them think that attending sports events is more important than keeping holy the Lord's day. Keep them too busy to go out into nature and to reflect on God's creation. Keep them busy. It will work. It will definitely work. And that was actually quite a plan, wasn't it? They engaged their work eagerly, causing Christians everywhere to get busier and more rushed, going here and there, having little time for God or for their families. Because busy simply means being under Satan's yoke. preacher included. That initial connection with God, that is vital in our relationship with Him. If we neglect it, if we miss it, it's to our own peril. So what's stopping you? The Lord is waiting. The rest of those verses that Heller read for us today, ask, seek, knock, and it will be given to you. Does a father give his child a serpent? No. The Lord graciously hands out to us the things that we need, often the things that we need more than the things that we want. But it's in that connection with Him, it's the setting down time and setting it aside to be with Him that is vital. The gifts of God are to prosper you and not to harm you. So how do you do this? Find a chair. Sound really weird. Find a chair. I'm sure you have plenty of chairs in your house. Find one that's comfortable. Not too comfortable. Because you might sleep. But find one that's comfortable. And be in that place. Sit in that chair. And set time aside in that space and in that place to pray, to read, to listen, to be silent. And all those other distractions, mobile phones, TV remotes, all those other things, leave them in a different room whenever you're going to your chair. Choose a time of day that's wise for you. You know, some of us are night owls. We could do that quite easily at night before we go to bed. Others are morning people and they'll be up at 5 or 6, ready to go. We get 3 different seasons of life. I know I normally tried to do this very early in the morning. That was a nightmare for a few years, trying to get everybody ready for school and also do all of that and be completely distracted with the busyness of the rest of the day. So we go through different seasons of life where maybe that time and that space and that place and that connection will evolve and change for who you are and for the season of life that you're at. But do not skip the vitality that you will find in that moment of connection. Be intentional about it. Don't just think it's going to happen. It won't just happen. Be intentional about it. We all carry diaries on our phones or paper ones or whatever way we do it, or calendars in our fridges, and we write everything else into them that we can't miss. When was the last time you wrote in your diary time with God? And if all of that seems a bit overwhelming, not sure where to start, just start somewhere and start very small. So a 5-minute conversation at a party in a house in Castle Dawson on the 15th of August, 1998. Meant that I wanted the phone to ring on the 16th, 17th, 18th, 19th, 20th of August, 1998. It means now I don't have to wait for the phone to ring because now I spend a lot of my day with her. It starts small, but it grows into something that you cannot live without. Just start somewhere. Because when the saints make a connection, as the scripture says in Matthew chapter 16, when the saints make a connection, the gates of hell will not prevail against us. Let's pray. Lord, give us the courage to set aside distraction, busyness, or lethargy. To start somewhere, to continue in that space and place of connection with you. We might grow that it's not just something that we do, but it comes the deepest desire of a daily habit. In your precious name we pray. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, and may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit rest upon each one of us this day and forevermore.